Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Michael Detweiler, and today I'm honored to have as my guest, Matthew Brown. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Michael.
Absolutely. So, is it Matthew or Matt? Inquiring minds want to know.
It cracks me up. I always go by Matthew when I introduce myself because I think my country accent, it always sounds like I say Mac.
Mac.
With a C.
Mac Brown.
So half the town calls me Mac and the other half calls me Matt. So now I just introduce myself as Matthew. That way we know.
So as Mac Brown, you'd be a famous Cookeville athlete who's coaching at North Carolina, right?
I would wish I got his pay grade. I wish. Sign me up if you know anybody. Belichick's my house, okay?
I hear you. So Matt Brown, better known as Matthew Brown. So it's a very common question when I do this show because I'm genuinely interested in people. And I think the public is as well. Where did you grow up? Where was home? You know, where were you born?
Man, I was an Upper Cumberland mutt.
Okay. No way.
It was funny. Like, we actually started out, my dad was a football coach and both my parents were teachers.
Okay.
So we started out in Bledsoe County. So in Bledsoe County, he switched jobs to Sparta, Tennessee.
Okay.
And Sparta is still where they live at, but he switched jobs multiple times when I was growing up to other counties to coach, but we always lived in Sparta.
Son of a gun.
So I went to school in Pikeville, White County, Salina, Tennessee, and I graduated York Institute my last year of high school. So I went to four Upper Cumberland schools.
So you're really good at making friends because you had to when you guys moved, right?
And I loved it.
Dad's a coach, right?
I loved it. Like I said, I always enjoyed it. Some people would be like, I can't believe you'd move like your senior year and stuff like that. I used to love going to these schools and meeting new people and new environment. It's change up rotation. I mean, I went to three high schools in 4 years.
That's great. So to me, and so we moved a lot when I was a kid because my dad wanted to move up in the world of manufacturing. And so he would take the next opportunity and not think a thing about it. And so we lived in Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Maryland, Mississippi, and then got here when I was in eighth grade. Well, my dad thought this was a 2 or 3 year stop at the most. We're still here 45 years later. But what I learned was how to meet people, how to make friends, you know, how to connect with people. I didn't know I was learning that skill at the time. All I knew is we were headed to a new state, to a new school.
Didn't think twice about it, right?
No, sir. Not at all. And I don't think you do as a kid if that's what you're faced with. I think for those, obviously, and my daughter grew up here and my younger kids grew up here. I mean, they see it as, wow, I can't believe that y'all moved and lived all of those places. Well, when you're in it.
You don't think about it.
No.
And plus, it teaches you to adapt, too.
It does.
I mean, you walk into a new place, brand new people, new personalities. Like, it's like ecosystems. Like, you're changing ecosystems.
You are.
But it's fun. I mean, I enjoyed it, and it sounds like you did, too.
I did. I thought it was neat, and it's interesting. My mom was a teacher as well, and so that's kind of interesting background that we both have. So you went to all those different places and your dad being the coach. So did you catch any flack from friends because dad was a coach? What did he coach?
Football.
Football. Okay.
They never said anything to me because I was one of the bigger guys on the team.
Right.
So I never caught much flack about it. They probably said a lot of stuff behind my back.
Oh, sure.
sure. There was a lot of gossip mill, but I didn't catch much of that. Okay.
And Matt's dad is wearing us out. He's
when I walked into the room, all smiles, high fives.
Hey, man.
It's all good.
I love it. That's awesome. So you graduated high school at York.
Yeah, York Institute up in Jamestown.
Wow.
Which is an awesome school. Like the history of that school.
It is.
With Alvin C. York and stuff. That's just a very neat school, and that setup is really neat. So I was really glad I was able to learn about that up there. That's a lot of local history there.
Yeah, it is. So did you go to the old high school in Salina or the new high school?
The new high school in
Salina. Awesome. Way to go.
So it was real nice too.
Yes.
That's a small town. Like I said, I always laugh about it. They don't even have a red light in that town.
Right.
And I asked them, I was like, why don't they have a red light? And I don't know if this is true or not.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they told me. They said, because it kept getting shot out.
Wow.
Like people would drive there and shoot out the red lights. They just put up stop signs everywhere.
So for all my Clay County friends, I could see that. Okay.
I didn't know if it was true or not, so don't hold me to it. That's just what I heard when I moved up there. So.
Well, you notice the road signs have pellet holes in them from the
100%.
Different shots.
You know, believe you it, see, right? It's believable.
You see those. That's right. That's right. So then You're graduating high school at York. Did you know what you wanted to do when you grew up, or did you not have a clue and said, okay, what do I do next?
It's kind of funny. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I know I needed a degree. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where you just have to have it anymore, really, to go up. So I went into school, and I really liked the idea of business just because you can do anything with a business degree.
Right.
You can work with any company. You can do anything with
start
a business
your
degree.
Own.
Anything. Yeah. So I went for the business route. And in the business route, you know, I was always a capitalist. It's just always been since I was little with money and things. I've always been good with money. And I was like, well, finance.
Yeah.
That makes sense, right? Let's go finance. I've always been good at handling money. I've always enjoyed it. You know, enjoyed working for money. Right. So I'll just go with the finance route. And I never changed once. And
that's
it's not because, and I hated it. That's the funny part here,
did
Michael.
You?
I hated it. Like, I hated classes, finance classes with a passion.
So did you go to Tennessee Tech?
I did, yeah. And I actually played football at Tennessee Tech.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that or not. So I played with Watson Brown at Tech.
Okay, so I've done scoreboard operations, time clock for 18 years. So
I know that.
When you were on the field, I was starting the start and stop button.
Well, listen, I wasn't on the field much. I was more on the sideline much. So I might, you know, you were clicking it up there, but I wasn't much involved in that side. So I was actually a walk on over there.
Nice. I didn't know that.
That was like the most humbling experience of my life.
Is it?
It really was, man. Because you go from like a big fish in a small pond. To where I walked in my first year at Tech as a preferred walk-on. I didn't have to try out, but they let me on the team. But I shared a locker with three guys. Like, we took shifts changing. That's humbling.
That is humbling. especially when you were the stud guy, right?
Well, yeah, like everybody that goes to play college ball, they were good on their high school team.
Absolutely.
They were good, you know, all-state, like, scored a lot of touchdowns, made a lot of tackles and stuff. And then you go to that situation where you walk into the locker room, they don't even know your name, and you're in the locker with three guys.
Right, because two of those three probably aren't going to be there by the end of the season.
Yeah, they're walk-ons, too.
Yes.
You know, they put all the walk-ons in the corner over there, take turns changing and things. It was just a humbling. It was a great experience, but it was the most humbling experience of my life.
Wow.
But it was good. I enjoyed it. I had a great time there.
But you still got to be on the team.
Oh, yeah. I played 3 years, traveled with them. I got to play a couple games every here and there. Not a lot, ever. But it was a good experience. Like, it just
that's
humbled
great.
You down a little bit.
Sure
it was good.
Did. But I think that's good in life, because if you're always the top dog all the time, you have no idea about if you're not, right?
Yeah, and it was good in college, too, because, you know, I'm a believer that college, you know, depending on if you specialize in a degree, that's one thing. Like, hey, if you need a piece of paper, could be a doctor or something like that, yeah, you've got to have that type of education or IT or something like that. But business really wasn't like that. Like, business, in my mind, was just really to sharpen. It's kind of to weed out. Who couldn't do it? Like, multitasking. Hmm. Like, you know, I was on the football team, going to school, and I was working 40 hours a week nearly through college.
Yeah.
So I went and had a multitask like crazy. You know, I was playing football for free.
Right.
That was just a hobby. But football in college is not a hobby. That's a full-time, round-the-clock job.
It is. Yeah, because going to college to get your degree is a very difficult process. It's not easy for most people.
No,
now,
it's
there's
not.
Some that just breeze right through because they've been gifted with that. But for the most part, it stretches you. You know, it's difficult on purpose.
Yeah, and that's what I tell like kids that come to me for like advice through college and stuff like that. I'm like, if I had somebody come in front of me with a resume, I'm looking at a resume. If I had two resumes in front of me, like one guy that had a 4.0 GPA that didn't have any work experience through college, or a guy that came in with a 2.5 GPA that has seven references, all these different jobs he's had accolades to those jobs, I'm more impressed with the 2.5 guy that worked through college with that experience and learned how to grind and multitask than I was the guy that got a full ride that just went 15 hours of classes and got 4.0.
Yes.
Like, as a work guy that's hiring somebody, that's the one that sticks out.
That was my sister Susan through college. She worked at JCPenney here in Cookeville, a full-time schedule, and went to Tennessee Tech. When she graduated Tennessee Tech, she immediately was hired by Belk down in South Georgia. She didn't know anybody, A, from Belk or South Georgia. They were impressed that she graduated from Tech and worked a full-time position in the men's department at Penny's. And that's what gave her the job, even though there were many other people who had applied for it, many of them from down in that area. And they hired a girl from Tennessee to go down to Georgia.
I interviewed a lot of jobs when I first got out of college. Not one person interviewing me ever asked me what my GPA was.
There you go.
Have you ever been asked? Has anyone ever asked you what your GPA was in college?
Lord, no, and I hope they don't, because it was terrible. I got those
I
got those letters saying, you're not going to be welcome back this semester, this quarter, because we were on the quarter system. But no, they don't. And what's even more interesting is the farther out you get, no one cares where you went to school unless they went to school there. That's really the only connection. Or if you were in a Greek organization and you're in the same one. That's the only ones I care about. I mean, you can go to Utah State and, okay, great, or Harvard. I mean, it might, a person on a resume might go, oh, wow, Harvard, okay.
I'm thinking I'm going to pay him more to get him out of debt.
That's right.
The financial advisor came out there. He's going to pay him more to get him out of debt on that. You know, but we're speaking broad. But, you know, there is, like, Tech's known for engineering. Like,
sure.
If you're going to an engineering
Absolutely.
Degree or nursing, you know, yes. they do have programs at certain colleges that, like, it would stick out a little bit more.
Yes.
But for the basic student, like,
it really doesn't
after you're
well,
out.
The employer doesn't, like, put more credence in that.
No.
My son, who is in sixth grade now, he is targeting engineering at Tennessee Tech because he knows what he wants to do. It's sixth grade. I know. I just can't be my child. But he's so focused on that. And so as he looks at engineering schools, he said, well, I don't have to leave town. I can get my engineering degree here.
You know, and that kind of segues into like what happened next in my career too. I kind of working doing that through school
sure.
is like I got a job offer like at FedEx Ground here in Cookeville. Working during school. So I was playing football and I got my first job and I was doing that for free, just walk on.
Sure.
But then my senior year, I just kind of looked in the mirror. I was like, I'm not going pro.
Right.
You know, and I'm spending a lot of time on that. So, you know, I'm not going to be doing that for my full career.
Yeah.
So that kind of got me started up in my FedEx.
That's great. You're listening to Matt Brown and the show is Local Matters. We'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. My guest, Matt Brown. So we were talking at the break about you had to look yourself in the mirror. You know, you had school going on. You had football going on. You were picking up a job at FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of opened the door to other opportunities. But something had to give during that time. How did you handle that?
Well, you know, FedEx, that was the neat thing about FedEx. They were like, hey, we'll pay you to go to school. You know, they help you with tuition. So I was kind of looking in the mirror. I said, do I want to go over here and work with these guys that are paying me or keep playing football for free that I know is not going to lead anywhere?
Right.
So I made the decision to kind of stop my
sure.
senior year and go to FedEx and work. So I actually picked up a morning shift working from 3 a.m. to 8 before classes started throughout the year at Tech. So I was
wow.
working every morning from 3 to 8 going to school, and then I mowed yards in the afternoon.
Wow.
So that was a good experience, though, because it introduced me to corporate America.
Sure.
Which was great. You know, I loved working at FedEx. It was physical, getting paid to work out, got
right.
help at school. So I absolutely loved working there. And as soon as I graduated and got my degree, they offered me a full-time operations management job.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, they offered me, as soon as I got my degree, offered me the job to walk in making $40,000, $50,000 a year
sure.
for a, you know, 22-year-old. I was excited.
That's big money for a 22-year-old.
It was. But then all of a sudden, this little linger in the back of my mind started ticking. Like, it was like, hey, you got this finance degree. you hated finance classes. All it was formulas that were 14 pages long. It didn't do anything about what I do today, like people.
Right.
It was literally just numbers on pages. And I was like, I hate this. This is boring. Like,
right.
Yahoo Finance does this for free. Like, for all this big calculation, it's on Yahoo Finance.
And okay. I paid for this.
That's what I'm saying. But they were doing a lot of formulas and things. And if you're going into that side of finance, it would have helped you. But it was not what a financial advisor did. Okay. So I hated it. But I got the idea. I was like, you know, if I'm working a night shift as an operations manager at FedEx, that leaves my mornings free to do something else.
Sure.
So I actually put on a suit and tie, and you know me well enough, Michael, you don't see me in a suit and tie very often.
No.
It's not
you
me.
No, okay. It's not you. So it's I've not never me. Seen
Boots
you in a suit and tie.
Guys. That's yeah. me. Okay. So I actually walked office to office in every single financial firm in Cookeville looking for a job, dropped off resumes. So I actually dropped one off at Bill Scruggs' office, and he invited me in for an interview that day.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down with Bill Scruggs, and I was like, listen, I don't care what you pay me. I'll come in here and work for free. Just let me come in here and learn about this job before I just go off on a career in something. Sure. Let's test this finance field to see if I like it.
Right. See if I'm a good fit and see if y'all are a good fit for me.
Just learn about it. I didn't exactly know what a financial advisor did at that point.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I walked in there and he's like, well, yeah, sure, I'll let you come work. He was nice enough to pay me. He didn't make me work for free. So, but I went in there and worked every morning from 8 to 12. And then I went to the operation shift from 2 to 10 at night at FedEx and kind of just got my feet wet on both of those so I find out what I liked.
Sure.
And it didn't take very long to know that the financial advisor was I really enjoyed that job.
Yes. Because you're dealing with people.
Yeah. It was nothing like
dealing
school.
With important information.
Yeah.
And you're helping people.
That's a funny story, Michael. Like at Tech, they offer a class. It's called a stock brokerage class, like a New York Stock Exchange class. They invite students to be in that class to kind of prepare them for a future in that. I wasn't even allowed. I tried to sign up for that class and I couldn't even get into it. And now I believe I'm the only one that graduated class. You know, I'm one of the only financial advisors that actually do that for a living, but I couldn't even get into the class because of my grades.
Wow.
So that's always a funny story. I would look back on it like I couldn't even learn about it.
I couldn't even get in that class.
And now I'm the only financial advisor in the clique.
Yeah. I remind people from time to time when they ask me about doing weather, doing radio, I said, I'm the kid that stuttered. That you knew in kindergarten all the way through seventh grade that had a hard time getting his words out, okay? And now I get to talk to interesting people on the radio. You know, I've done weather on television. I've spoken for a member of Congress, for crying out loud. So if you have a life issue, I promise you, if you'll attack it, you will get past it and be able to do whatever you want in life. And so it's really neat to encourage folks to go chase what it is they want to do. And the fact that you were willing to work not only at FedEx, you know, second shift basically, but you were willing to go try the whole investment side of the world in the mornings, that says a lot about your character.
Well, yeah, and it was fun because, you know, everyone laughs when you say like the investment, they just kind of clicks with me there because, you know, people think that's like what we do. We just sit around and it's like watch stocks and just
watch CNBC all day long.
People think that's actually the smallest portion of what we do in a day. And the reason is that there's all these systems that tell you the best investments. Like you can go to Morningstar and find 5-star investments.
Right.
You know, that's actually the smallest part of what we do on a day-to-day task. But that's stuff that you don't know in school, like you said. So I really just want to dip my toe in that side of the world to see if I liked it. And it was so much people involved and families and, you know, you're taking care of people's futures and what they work their whole lives for. And I just got real passionate about it real quick.
Yes.
Been there ever since.
Sure.
Never left.
And so you've been in the financial industry field for
8 years now.
8 years.
Since I was 22.
No kidding.
So I walked in off the street there and I started out as a secretary. I mean, literally just an assistant, just seeing if I liked it or whatever.
Sure.
And I worked my way up now to where I actually run the branch there on a day-to-day basis.
That's fantastic.
But it's been a long experience, but I kind of started from the bottom just filing paperwork to where I'm now actually compliance and all that fun stuff in the office. So it's been a good journey, but it's been rewarding and it's went by fast.
Yeah. And doesn't it though? And it's interesting how the longer you do something like that, and if you make the effort to get better at it, it's not long before you're trusted as an expert in your field.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the neat thing about it too. Like if you're just love what you do, you'll be successful at it.
You will be.
And that's what I tell like young people too, like that are getting out of college. Like the number one thing you can do is not go buy a car, buy a house.
Right.
Because what you're doing is you're taking away your freedom to find something you're passionate about.
Correct.
That makes sense.
You feel stuck in that one job because, gosh, I got the $700
I gotta have the
car
money.
Payment.
I gotta
got
have
this.
Money.
Yes.
So whether you hate going in every day, you've got to have that paycheck. Like, it was neat. Like, my, you know, financial advising is a hard career.
Sure.
It's a 9
takes
out of 10 fail rate.
Years to build up a book of business.
9 out of 10 fail rate. Yeah. So 9 out of 10 advisors fail getting into it.
Right.
Which is crazy to think about.
It is.
So, you know, but once you're in there, it's not like work. You know what I'm saying? Like, my first year, I made negative $7,000.
There you go.
I worked for a year for free. I lost money for a year, but I loved it so much. It wasn't like work.
Sure.
Which is bad for my family.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
I get at work 6:37 in the morning. I blink my eyes. It's 12. I blink my eyes again. It's 6. I'm like, oh, heck, I got to go home.
I
got to
go home. That's right.
But that's the kind of job I want everybody
see
to
kids,
have.
Right.
Yeah, that's the kind of job everyone should have. Like, you should love what you do and look forward to going in. It's not like work.
I think there's several, and I refer them, you know, as coaches. Chris Peterson was the last one, very successful Boise State coach, and he also coached at Washington, and he said, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
It's true, man. I'm living it.
Yeah.
And 8 years.
So it's, yeah, and it goes by so, so quick. And obviously we can't, as men, and we can have a problem with this if we're not careful, is that we can't love the work so much that our family suffers for it. And you just made that point by saying, hey, I get there at 7, I wake up, it's noon, I wake up again at 6 p.m., you know, we have to do that whole work-life balance and be intentional about it.
Yeah, it's hard, man, because you got to think about it, like, in our line of work, you're dealing with someone's life savings.
You
like,
are.
Everything they've ever worked for in their life, you're dealing with it.
Yes.
And, you know, our customers have my cell phone. So
sure.
I've never really had a full day off. You know, I take a day off. Like, they're calling, but here's the thing, like, you've got to answer that call.
Right.
Like, if they need something, like, you're their lifeline to their finances. They trust you. They depend on you.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're going to answer that call.
Yes.
And my wife understands that because she can see how much I love my job.
Sure.
So she's been such a supportive woman behind me. Like, you know,
yes.
She's always just say, do what you need to do. I'll get the kids in this other room so you don't hear screaming in the background.
There you go.
You know, they wonder where you're at right now. You know, just...
I'm in a zoo, folks. I can't talk.
So, sorry, there's not a murder going on behind me. It's just my kids.
It's
sorry.
My kids. So you're listening to Matt Brown, and the show is Local Matters. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters. My guest today, Matt Brown. And so tell us about family, because I know you got a family. So we know about dad being the coach. Of course, mom was a teacher, right?
Yep. So I have a family of public servants.
Public servants.
So both my parents are teachers. My brother's a teacher. My wife was a teacher. My sister's a nurse.
Wow.
And I'm a teacher of money.
We're all teachers of money.
Well, right. That's our heart, man.
So where did you meet your wife?
So same thing as you. See, you talk about you still being here. The reason is because Sean wanted to stay here.
Right.
So I'm the same way.
So,
I met her at York, but we didn't actually start dating until college. So we didn't date while we were in high school, but we met a couple years later in college. Been together ever since.
That's awesome.
And everyone that has a good marriage knows, like, it's never been hard.
Yes.
It's literally been easy. It's been fun. It's lashing my best friend.
Sure.
It's easy.
That's great.
Marriage, you know, we've never had real arguments. Like, we've had small things, but if it's hard, it's not, you know, you're forcing it.
Yeah.
It's just been easy.
Well, there's times, I mean, men and women are built different. We're gonna disagree on things. And you know what? Disagreement in a marriage is fine. It's healthy. It helps y'all work through things. So it's, you know, to me, that's important, to be able to work through things rather than just go to your own corners and not say a word and, you know.
And fester, let it sit, man.
Because it's going to explode out of you one day in not a good way.
Yeah, it makes mine easier, too. Like, we're complete opposites. Like,
yes.
I'm type A,
yes.
And I'm real outgoing, and she's real kind of drawn back, and she thinks before she says things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a good one-two punch to where, like, if there was two of me in the room, the house would burn down.
Right.
So she's been good. Like, you know, we're a good one-two punch.
I
like, we complement each other real well.
So Sean, my wife, she dots the I's, crosses the T's. I'm more of, let's walk in a room and meet everybody.
Yeah.
She's like, let's walk in a room and not say hi to anybody.
Let's go to that table over in the corner.
That's right. And so we're opposites. So that really works, because she can ground me and stop me when, you know, she thinks maybe that's not a good
100%.
Decision to make.
Yes.
And then I can help her see things that sometimes maybe she doesn't see.
They're the realest, too, though. Like, your wife and my wife are probably the same. Like,
yes.
Whenever she says something, I listen. Because she wouldn't say something unless she thought about it and knew about it. So whenever she says it, I'm doing it.
I've had to work on getting better on that, and she would very much attest to that if she were sitting.
Yeah.
So kids?
Yeah, we got two of them. Everyone's going to feel sorry for me here, a two-year-old and a one-year-old.
Wow.
So it's fun at my house. I walk in. I have the best job in the world. I go home, and I just play for 2 hours,
there
and then the wife takes it back over. So I go in there and have a lot of fun. I'm the fun parent. I never thought I would be, but I am the fun one.
That's
so
awesome.
So yeah. They're all fun.
Well, you know what? As a parent of a 14-year-old and soon to be 12-year-old, you're going to miss those days.
Oh, I know, man.
Because they
fast.
Go by, they go so, by fast. So fast because, you know, it people say it all the time. And, you know, when you're younger, you don't believe it, but it does go by quickly. And you'll miss those days of them being littles.
I know. And that's why it's such a hard work balance. Man, if you love your job, yes. People need you and you're having fun at work and stuff like that. But then, you know, like, hey, I need to be home.
Yes.
Like, I need to be home. I want to be home with her. So,
yes.
Like, even on weekends.
Well,
like
and,
just
well and especially, you know, once they get up into school age, let me give you some old dad advice because you know my daughter, Kelsey, who's 27. Be there for those school things. You know, if they go to Capshaw and they have the Cougar Run, leave the office and say, guys, I'm out of here for a couple hours, because those things are so important, you know, to see mom and dad's face at those things, you know, sporting events, you know, whatever, you know, it makes a difference in a kid's life.
It does. And, you know, that's why a lot of people ask me, like, why aren't you out in the, you're not moving and shaking. Like, you're not at Rotary. You're not, all these things. But listen, man, I'm at home.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm with my kids right now. I want to be at those things.
Right.
I really like meeting people. I love being involved, but I want to be at home.
There'll be a time for that. I promise you. There will be a time for that. So, you decide after doing the FedEx thing that, hey, doing the investment business is a way I need to go.
Yeah.
Bumps in the road, ups and downs.
I don't know if I can do it again, Michael.
Really?
If I tell you all the stuff I did and I failed at,
sure,
you'd just be like, man, you could write a book over that. And I was like, yes, I could, man. I could patent it, man.
Sure.
Because there's no, you know, no one tells you about the financial advising industry when you go in, but like, you got to think about it. I just told you who I grew up with.
Yes.
Teachers.
Right.
And everyone knows teachers are underpaid, right? But
right.
That's who I knew. That was my habitat.
Sure.
So being a financial advisor that needs to advise on money, you've got to have money. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to have some money under management
sure.
to advise on it. So it was really hard for me to start branching out and getting those kind of relationships I needed with people that have wealth and family wealth and they're wanting to pass on through generations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a new world for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't grow up in that world.
Sure.
But it makes me appreciate it because I see this and it gets me excited. You know, we like to work with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we literally work with accounts that have $50 in them.
Sure.
Like, some firms have minimums. We don't.
Sure.
Like, hey, if you're serious about your money, I don't care if you make $10 an hour or you make $10 million a year.
Sure.
We will help you if you're serious about it. No minimums with us.
Mm.
So, and a lot of firms can't do that just because they're not willing to scale to that, but we'll figure it out. Like, we'll
sure.
grow. I'll hire people. You know, if someone wants help to be that first generation of wealth,
sure,
we will help them get there if they're serious about it.
That's interesting. I have a friend who's a financial advisor, and he always had a tagline for in business. You know, he would say, hey, we're here for millionaires and millionaires in training.
Hey,
and
I've never heard of that.
And that's a great tagline.
Dude, I'm sure it says that's great, man.
It stuck with me all of these years. And
yeah.
Because he said, hey, I can teach people
mm-hmm.
that don't have any money now.
Exactly.
I'm happy to teach them. You know, because if we teach them, they follow it, then they're going to have money in the future. And I've seen studies where, believe it or not, a lot of public servants, so long as they don't overspend what they make, will have a lot at the end of their life if they're diligent
early.
With their money.
Early.
Yes,
yeah.
And not waste it in car payments and waste it on a gigantic house. And,
keeping up with the Joneses.
Right,
yeah, that's
right,
a biggest
right.
thing, man. Just
it
like
is.
Live within your means.
Pressure.
Like, you can either... You know, I'm a big Dave Ramsey follower. Like, I'm actually a SmartVestor. Like, we're SmartVestor pros and stuff. Like,
yes.
we're big guys on the Dave Ramsey systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just cause it's
live
simple
on less than you make.
It's just simple principles.
Right.
You know, it's just basic principles that everybody can understand that can be.
Grandma's ways of handling money.
Yeah, just don't spend more than what you make.
Yeah. our church at Trinity in all good sponsors every member in the entire church gets a free, you know, Dave Ramsey membership, because you want your church members to be healthy financially. You know, you're
business
working
over there. Certain business, I hear it over here.
I mean, you are working with them on the spiritual side as the pastor, right?
Yeah.
And working with their relationship with the Lord and teaching them and everything else. But a big component that's missing a lot of times is being able to, you know, bless them with something that will help them financially.
That's one of the most rewarding parts of our job, too, because we deal with like a lot of multi-generational wealth, like transitioning it on as tax efficiently as possible and things, and watching these people give, like how much they're giving to local, like these local clinics and stuff like that, how much they're giving on a regular basis, and they're helping their kids out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I want to do that because the whole idea of working every day, like, why are you working if you're not trying to build something to make it easier for the next generation?
Right.
Like, I want my kids to have the same options that maybe I didn't have. Like, I want them to have the option of like, hey, I want to find something I'm passionate about. I don't really care what it makes.
Sure.
I want to love what I'm doing.
I want to do that.
And if they know, like, hey, Dad, you know, we're going to have money down the road, I don't have to worry about that side of it. Right. I want to find something that gives back that I'm fulfilled at.
Yeah. I think, you know, if you don't work with a plan, then you're going to get what you get. If you work with a plan, you're going to get that. And so wouldn't you rather work and have a plan versus just being kind of whatever, driving around, having the latest whims, you know, in terms of how you spend your money?
It's funny, Mike. I heard us saying the other day, you like it. It was, you know, we don't want to be a volcano.
Yes.
Volcano's powerful, man. It just explodes, damages everything around it. We want to be a missile.
Sure.
We want that same power, but we want it directed at something. Right. Think about how much more impactful damage you do with a missile instead of a volcano exploding over everything.
Yes. Do we want to have a rifle shot or do we want to have a shotgun approach?
Exactly,
I think,
man,
the rifle shot is a much better way.
Collateral damage goes down quite a bit.
It does. We were shooting guns on Saturday after Thanksgiving up in Jackson County at my brother-in-law's house, and my father-in-law, you know, was shooting a .243. It's amazing what kind of damage that round does.
Yep.
It's amazing. And so just had a blast with it. But if you're laser focused in what you do, whether it's your work life, your financial life, whatever, you're going to hit your goals.
Man, it's crazy. Like, a good plan, sticking to it, being a good person, the wealth will find you. If you just do all the little things right and just be a good person, give when you can, invest, don't do anything crazy. You know, don't go out and just buy lottery tickets. You know, just do the simple things right. Wealth will find you.
It's the biblical principle of sowing and reaping. Okay?
Oh, man, yeah, here he goes.
If you sow potatoes, watermelon's not going to come out of the ground. Yeah. Potatoes are going to come out of the ground.
Exactly.
Okay, don't, you know, if you sow nothing, you're going to reap nothing. And that's why to us as a family, it's important to give. And that's a priority for us. We are tithers at our church. We aren't, you know, giving God leftovers. That check gets written first when we get paid.
You're passing it on, man. I mean, that's the way it's, you're teaching kids. Like, it's better, and you'll have a better feeling of giving.
Our kids are givers because of that. They see it.
It's addicting. Like, the first time you give, it's addicting.
It is.
Like, you'll want to keep doing it. Like, could I spend $1,000? I could, and I'll have fun with it. But guess what? It won't fulfill me like giving $1,000 to the local charity that I know is going to use it right.
Right.
And, you know, to do that, though, you've got to have a good financial plan when it comes to building it.
Right. And you have to live on that plan and live with purpose. Yes, you can have fun with money.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely.
Don't live under a rock.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you'll have time for all that at the end. I'm telling you. So
I agree.
Just cut back a little bit, live within your means, do the small things, and you can do it all at the end.
It's amazing. Yep. Amazing how that grows. Listen, brother, it has been a pleasure and an honor to have you on this show.
I'm just glad I got invited, man. He told me I was on the top 200 list. He didn't tell me where. He said it was alphabetical order.
Alphabetical.
I don't believe him, but he said I was on the list. So.
He was 202, folks. No, I'm just kidding.
With a lot of calls, the only one that answered. The financial advisor answered, right?
That's there it right. Is, he answered my call. I needed somebody. So you're listening to Local Matters. I'm Michael Detweiler, your host. Have a great day. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA-SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Raymond James Financial Service Advisors, Inc. Raymond James is not affiliated with Local Matters.